Powerful Perspectives intersect for NAIDOC Week, platforming this year's theme, 50 Years of Deadly, to highlight ongoing strength and courage within First Nations communities. For over 65,000 years, our First Peoples have remained the oldest storytellers and custodians of the world's longest living culture. Amid a week of cultural events, The Wire heard a range of First Nations perspectives, casting light on personal interpretations of the event, the importance of cultural identity, connection, histories and truth-telling, along with renewed calls to empower Aboriginal-led reform.
My name's Isaac Hayward. I'm a proud Goreng and Wurrung man.
50 years of deadly. Being a young person, what does that mean to you?
I think that from a very young age, I was taught to be very proud of my culture. I went to an Indigenous kindergarten. I grew up in an Indigenous church, so I think that I always felt proud of my culture, and I always felt like I never needed to hide who I was. For anybody listening, it's very good to be able to know who you are and understand that your culture is your identity, especially if you're Indigenous, because it's so rooted and it's had such a rich history. 50 years, 60,000 years, like, it's been a while. I think it's just very important to be proud of who you are and your culture.
What do you do to connect with your culture or remain connected to your culture and identity?
I am very fortunate enough to be in a family that is constantly doing things for the Indigenous community. My dad is an Aboriginal pastor, and he goes around the community and helps people. And my mum is an Indigenous GP, so she is in an Indigenous clinic as well. And just recently, I performed at the Royal Adelaide Hospital for NAIDOC Week, which was awesome, because I did it last year as well, and that was absolutely amazing. I always find it important to even acknowledge my culture and where I come from.
So Narupi Narindjeri Mimini, Nyanawi Michi Brook Grigny Lively, Pultingi Narindjeri. I'm a strong Narindjeri Mimini, a woman. I'm Narindjeri and Ghana, and my name is Brook Grigny Lively. My family come from Raukan and from Ghaniata. I hold those two parts of myself very strongly, so very proud to be who I am.
50 years of deadly. How do you reflect on previous decades of First Nations strength and courage?
I was only thinking this morning really about the fact that, like, what are some of my earliest memories of NAIDOC for me? And definitely for me, it was as a kid getting to go with all the other Noongar kids and get to go to the family fun day and things like that, and always being a real celebration and just always having such immense pride being surrounded by and seeing reflected your culture, your language, all the mob coming together to celebrate. There's something about that as a young kid, especially, you know, if you're like the only Noongar in your class, for example, or whatever that might be. We can feel a little bit isolated in certain places, specifically when we're not around mobs. So things like Noongar Carnival for footy or Indigenous Round for the AFL and NAIDOC Week are always really, really special when you get the mob together and get to celebrate and see your culture represented in such a positive light, when we know that often what we're surrounded with is racism and the vitriol around it and all the rest of it. So I think for me, thinking on 50 years of deadly, I think especially as an adult, is really remembering, like, every Friday of NAIDOC Week here in Adelaide, we start with a march, and we march to Parliament House and we protest on the steps. And that's because NAIDOC began as a protest. So I think as an adult now, I can hold space for two of those things at the same time, right? Which is this massive celebration of us all coming together, celebrating our history, our resilience, our strength, our culture, while also not losing sight of the fact that we have a lot of work to do and that it remains a protest. And actually being here and celebrating is its own form of protest.
Why are First Nations voices so vital in recognising but also highlighting and, you know, truthfully representing past trauma and pushing for change, particularly for young First Nations people and specifically around youth justice?
Ultimately, we want to talk about wasted money into CTG and reconciliation. If we want to talk about why there is still such a disparity in outcomes for health and education and all of these things, we have to talk about the fact that all of the initiatives that have come so far to this point have largely not worked because they've not been Aboriginal led. When we seek consultation rather than we seek Aboriginal leadership, I think that's kind of often the delusion, really, is that Aboriginal people somehow like, oh, we're perpetual victims and we don't know how to get ourselves out of this stuff and that we're looking for handouts. Aboriginal people have for years had really strong advocates and advocacy and protested. They actually need to move from consultation to meaningful engagement that actually centres Aboriginal voices and lived experience, not just Aboriginal voices generally, but like, let's think about what the outcome of the specific initiative is. You actually need to include people in meaningful ways.
Former chair of the Blackwood Reconciliation Group, Ghana Gukatha man Alan Edwards, has been impacted across multiple generations by forced removal policies. His mother, Avis Gale, was removed from her family as a child and taken to the Colebrook home, where she lived for 12 years. He highlights the vital role of sharing personal stories and the importance of community when it comes to strengthening reconciliation.
Mum was removed from her family when she was 7 days old, and I think seeing the support that we get from the local community sort of drives us to move forward and to tell the story. Colebrook Home and the Stolen Generation was not talked about over the years because it was, you know, what we'd call a dark part of our history. But now we're getting into the truth-telling era and stories like that people want to hear now.
I understand that you recently met your brother for the first time at the site of the Colebrook home after being separated for 55 years because of stolen generation policies. How did you feel in that moment?
It was totally out of the blue. My father passed away when I was 10, so I grew up with mum and two sisters, and all those years I always wanted to have a brother. So 2 years ago, Ian found out that he was adopted at birth, and then he came across me. We're in regular contact with each other. We do a lot of things together. Our families get on well together, but it's still 2 years later a bit hard getting used to having a brother, but it's going well. It's going in the right direction.
What do you hope to connect with other members of the public through education and also through family stories and stories like you've just mentioned, meeting your brother?
It's all about building relationships and not being afraid to walk alongside someone who hasn't had your history or who is from a different culture, from a different faith. There are things about other people's culture that I might not agree with, but it's just having an awareness of that difference, having an understanding that that is their culture. I'm sure there are things about my culture that some people don't agree with, but that doesn't mean we can't talk to each other or work with each other or walk together. So very important part of the reconciliation process, forming relationships and not being afraid to truth tell and to truth listen.
Ghana and Gukatha man and former chair of the Blackwood Reconciliation Group, Alan Edwards, speaking with me.